Word of God in Revelation chapter 3 tonight. I feel like God have us speak on this Revelation chapter 3. Verse number 14. The Bible said unto the angel of the church, the angel is the messenger, and the church is local, of the Laodiceans write. So I tell you, in these days, if you don't have a messenger, he ain't going to hear what God's got to say to the church. But I'm glad for a called man of God that can hear what God's saying. Then he said, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. He is faithful. He's true. The beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me.
Amen.
That is a conditional promise.
That's right.
It's conditional. You've got to hear the voice and open the door. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As a brother said tonight, we surely not fearful of the workings of God, and the Holy Ghost has to speak if anybody hears. It's not in the voice of men, it's in the voice of God. Now, God uses the man's voice, but it's him that has to speak. And here we look at this church, the word Laodicea, and the people rule, you know that, and we live in a day where people run the church instead of God. And we find here in the scripture that they was not cold nor hot. They wasn't. They was lukewarm. The word lukewarm means to be tepid. And I look at this and I don't think in my own thinking here that the Lord really wanted to spew them out. But he had no choice because it made him sick. And you know, you think about this word spew means to vomit. And the way I look at this thing is, he was rejecting what they was offering. The word, when you vomit, you reject something. And what the Lord was doing, he was rejecting their ceremony. He was rejecting their tradition. He was rejecting them things that they were trying to produce that God wasn't in. And that's why he is on the outside. It wasn't because, friend, he didn't love them. He didn't love them. But because he, my friend, rejected what they was trying to offer and didn't bring what God said bring in the heart of love. Even tradition tonight, my friend, can creep into your own life. And you become just a mechanical Christian. And God don't want that. God said, I'd rather for you to be cold than to be, my friend, lukewarm. And he spent this church age as a lukewarm church age. And my friend and I, are you listening? Hey, God, he said that lukewarm crowd, he said it's making me sick. Amen. And so when we look at the scripture now, it's lukewarmness. It's lukewarmness. It's mechanical. It's routine. You've learned things. But you don't base your life just off what you've learned. You base it off him. And a lot of preaching tonight is shoulders up. A lot of singing tonight has become traditional.
It's become mechanical. It's become entertainment instead of the Holy Ghost touching it. And I know tonight, you know tonight, that the only thing God would be pleased with is something from your heart. It can't be done in a mechanical way. It can't be the pleasing of God that way. That's why when they said we'll do it our way, we won't do it God's way, then that's pushing him outside of it. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, you won't know why sinners don't get saved, because he's on the outside. A sinner can't get saved unless he's on the inside. It don't happen like that, brother. The Lord Jesus, God had to be on the inside of the assembly. If the sinner is going to get saved, he ain't going to get saved while Jesus is on the outside. Hey, nobody gets saved without him. He is salvation. And he'll have to be on the inside tonight. And if he's not on the inside, my friend, we're not going to have no move of God. We're not going to have any turn of the Holy Ghost. It'll all be a form and ritual. And God said they have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, from such turn away. That's what the book said. And so behold, I stand door and knock. That word knocker means he's rapping. I mean, that means he's putting it pretty strong on the door. And he said, I stand. That's his position. That's where he's at tonight. He stands. Jesus is on the outside of this church age knocking on the door. And it is a knock of righteousness. He's not going to dwell where sin is. You got to get clean before God if you want him in the house of God. He's not going to dwell where sin is and where compromise is and where my friend, people don't submit to him. I'm telling you what, he won't take second place nobody. You won't even get saved unless you bow to his lordship and he becomes Lord, and then he'll become your Savior. He's not Savior, Lord. He's Lord and Savior. And the first step for even any man getting saved, got to submit unto the Lord of Jesus Christ, and he'll become the Lord, thank God, of your life. And I'm going to tell you what, if he's Lord tonight, he will be 15 years from now, and they won't have to try to find you and wonder what you're doing. Thank God, he's still Lord of your life. And when he's Lord, thank God, he's on the throne, and there's where he'll be in the church. And if he's not the Lord of this church, let's close the door and go to house. And brother, thank God, to stay there, because if he's not here, it ain't going to work. Amen. But that's where we at. He's on the outside of the church. So I got to think about that knock. And what kind of knock was he a knocking? I mean, I thought, number one, it's a concerned knock.
Oh, sure.
I mean, he wouldn't knock if he wasn't concerned.
Hey.
And, you know, why not open the door? I mean, he's concerned about your soul tonight. He's concerned about your spiritual condition. He's concerned about it. I'm concerned about it. God's concerned about it. I mean, we're concerned about a bad spiritual condition. Amen. I'm glad for your good welfare. I'm glad God blesses you. But the main thing tonight is know you've been born again. I know you passed from death unto life. Ain't God know that the Holy Ghost has filled you and using you. And the main thing you're living for is Christ. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, he's concerned tonight. He wouldn't knock on your door if he wasn't concerned. Amen. That's right. So it's a concerned knock. He's concerned about your soul. If you hear lost tonight, he's concerned about you.
Yes, sir.
Now, you won't answer a door unless he knocks. They might try to get you to answer the door. Brother, you can't answer. And I'm going to tell you what. It ain't the preacher knocking. It's him a knocking. And if he don't knock on your door, you can't go to it. I don't care what these boys say. Amen. Say, well, why don't you repeat this prayer and do all this business? I'm going to tell you what. He's got to knock on the door before the man goes in. You don't answer the door unless it's being knocked on. And I'm going to tell you what, only the Holy Ghost can knock on a man's door through the gospel priest. And when the Word of God goes forth, thank God, that's when the Holy Ghost knocks on sinners' doors. He's concerned about you. Amen. You know, I was thinking about it. I just don't have nothing to do, I guess, at this point here. But this comes to my mind. I was thinking about this today. You know when the Lord said, one of you will betray me? That whole crowd looked at him and said, is it I? Every one of them. You say it couldn't be me. It could be. It could be. It don't. Your status don't impress God. You got to have more than that. I mean, you got to be born again. You got to have the Holy Ghost birth you in the family of God. I mean, there's a lot of people that got knocked on the door and said, "Lord, I mean, I'm all right." Oh, you might not be. You might not be saved. I mean, he could knock on your door tonight. You might say, "Is it I?" Sure, it could be you. I mean, that whole crowd, they'd walk with Judas. They'd seen him, but they still didn't know it was him. Amen. That's right, brother. There's wolves in sheep's clothing. So it's a concerned knock. Don't say this. It's a chosen knock. He rapped the door because it was his own goodwill to choose to knock. He didn't have to knock. But he chose to knock. He chose in this church age, thank God, to knock on the door. Thank God that somebody would hear what he had to say and open the door up. If he ever leaves the door, he ought to be in here tonight. Amen. But if he ever leaves the door and he's not in here, I'm telling you what, we might as well close shop. Like the brother said, there's been a lot of places shut down, and he don't shut them down. Amen. They shut them down. Because they don't go his ways. That's right. Don't you tell me, listen to me tonight. And I ain't wanting to get rough, but I'm just telling you what. If God's the head of this church, it ain't shut down. It won't shut down. You won't have to have a yard sale to keep her open, neither. You won't have to have a bake sale to keep her open. I tell you what, he'll keep it open because it's his church. It's a chosen knock. And I'm telling you, he chose to knock on the door. He chose to knock on your heart's door when you was lost. It wasn't your choosing, it was his choosing. And if he hadn't knocked on it, you never would have answered it, Amy. That's right. The knob is on the inside. Not on the outside, it's on the inside. But I'll tell you this, he chose to knock on the door. He didn't have to. Boy, you better thank God tonight. He knocked on your heart. Amen. Thank God for his knocking power. Amen. And that knock will never leave. Amen. You say, "I heard that knock." Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you what, it's a chosen knock. I want to say this. It's a convicting knock. It speaks to you, the one that hears it. That's right. And it's a knock of reproof for the matter of where he's at.
Yeah.
It's a knock of reproof of where he's at. He's outside the church right here. And the knock is a reproof against that church and a testimony against that church because he's knocking and it reproves that crowd inside the church because, my friend, they the ones that pushed him out. And I will tell you this tonight. It's a knock to awaken you to respond.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Some will, some won't. Some will respond, some won't respond.
Sure.
It's just like salvation. The conviction's got to be there.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
You won't move to God. You're too stubborn. You're too prideful. And you wouldn't move to God unless he broke you to move to him.
Right.
Amen. He made you willing today. His power, it was the power of God. And if he hadn't got good and heavy on you, you'd still be religious and going to hell.
Amen.
It's a convicting knock.
Right.
And his knocks... a convicting knock.
Praise God.
And then I'll say this. It's a compassionate knock.
Sure.
You better believe that. You know what he's saying? I'm extending mercy with that knock. And I tell you what he said. He says, I've got pity on your sinful estate. I've got pity on your man-made tradition and your old ceremonies. Hey, God, all you got to do is open the door. I'll come in, just everything else, and want me, amen. I want everything else. We don't have a bunch of entertainment at the house of God, puppet shows. Hey, God, clown acts. Hey, he's a whole lot better than that, amen. That's right. Brother said the old time way, with old time ways preaching. That's right. It's not no cookie.
Come on, preacher, go ahead.
Puppet show.
Preach.
God help us. I couldn't imagine the Apostle Paul running puppet shows. Jesus neither. Thank God he said preach the gospel. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen, preacher. I'm just saying tonight, brother, he had a whole lot of pity and compassion on us. Thank God. It don't come our way. And I'm going to tell you what. You know what that compassionate knock says? It says he loves us. And that's why he's a knocking on our door. Amen. That's what the book says. Get this here. Remember. And I got this thought. Remember this. And this is simple. Remember. When he's knocking with nail-pierced hands. He's knocking with pierced hands that blood cut from, that was shed for the remission of sin, that bought you off the slave market of sin, that put you in the great family of God. And I'm telling you what compassion, thank God they didn't have on sinful men that was lost and undone without God. That should be in hell tonight, but he saved us anyhow in spite of our sin. Thank God grace got further than that and reached down to where you was at and brought you out of sin and hell and put you in the family of God. I'm telling you what compassion, thank God that has still knocked at our own stubborn door. Amen. That's right. Compassionate knock. Say this, it's a convincing knock. He's speaking while he knocks here. He said, I'm knocking, but if any man will hear my voice. Are you hearing me? He's convincing in his voice. They don't have a doubt who's at the door. They don't say, I wonder who's at the door. They know who's at the door. How much ever sinner, thank God, they ever get under conviction, they know who's at the door. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they know he's come to tell them they're guilty and they're lost. And the only hope they got's Christ. And he'll always lead them that way. Well, I'll tell you what, it's convincing. He's convinced that crowd, hey, I'm at the door. Now, you got an opportunity to open it. Get this here. What I see right here, it's a continual knock. He don't leave and come back. He said, behold, I stand. That's his position. I stand at the door and knock. And get this here. As long as he's at the door, he'll knock. Amen. That's right. He's a knocking. Thank God. But I'll tell you what, one day the knock's going to be over when he takes his church out. Hey, friend, I don't want to be one of them. Thank God that didn't have him in my life and the rule of my life. Amen. He said, them I love, I rebuke. He said, therefore, repent. He said, what's the word there? Repent. That's the word there. Repent. Turn. Be too late. He leaves the door. And then you'll knock. Matthew 25. That crowd left to get oil. The time they got back, the bridegroom had came. Open up. Open up. Open up, Lord. He said, I know you not.
That's right.
I don't know you. And didn't have no oil in the lamp. And I'll say this, I get this thought here. It's a condemning knock.
Oh yes.
Get this. The same knock that gives opportunity will be the same knock that condemns.
Yeah.
Listen. The Bible said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now what I believe on that is he was preaching that the only way you can be righteous is by faith. You say, I believe he's preaching against sin. Yeah, but I believe the main thought of that preacher of righteousness is that he is a preaching that you're made righteous by faith in God. If you get righteous by faith, thank God your life will change. Hey man, he wasn't trying to get them to straighten up. He was trying to get them to see that they need to be made righteous.
Amen.
And listen, they knew not.
Yeah.
So the same preaching that give that crowd opportunities, because there was days said my spirit should not always strive or contend with man. Hey, you can't be so insensitive to the fact that in this day and hour that God is pulling the Holy Ghost off slowly off of a church age and turning His whole attention back to a nation. Thank God that's going to be, my friend, that whole centerpiece of the tribulation period, which is the nation of Israel. You can't be that insensitive to think, my friend. I mean, you know this. Thank God for the last 10 years it's been a decline in the power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost down the house of God. So that's right. Me and Eve spoke about that. About generations not knowing any kind of revival. And to be honest with you, we just got a few gleanings.
Sure.
Yeah. We picked up a few gleanings from it, from old men of God come through here and preach, and the Holy Ghost come by and breathe, or maybe a good service we've had on a Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you what, if you really get revived, thank God, it'll last longer than Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's right. And revival, to me, is repentance in your heart. And you listen to the voice of God and obeying everything He says, and you live, thank God, in that Holy Spirit restoration and joy in Christ. Hey, it's not shouting. I like shouting, but shouting's not revival. Hey, God, my friend, revival means God plowing on your heart and breaking you down and getting you to where you repent. Thank God and be revived, thank God, in your spirit that you can worship Him, you can praise Him, and you can enjoy the Holy Ghost presence. Amen. That's right. That's what revival is to me. And once in a while, I'm going to tell you that one service we had here the other Sunday morning, girls singing, God breathed in. I mean, it helped me for a couple of days. I've been in meetings before back when I got saved. I'd get in a meeting and I could live with that meeting, that one meeting, for a couple months because God was real in it. It brings, thank God, that remembrance. Peter said, I've struck your pure minds by the way of remembrance, and them things still come to recollection of my mind. God did do something to revive our hearts. But brother, I'm telling you this, if it don't help you when you go out that door, hey friend, it ain't revival. Ain't got to go home get in bed with you, amen. That's right. But listen, the same preaching that's done is the same preaching that'll condemn. That's right. That knock right there, brother, thank God it gives a man opportunity to open the door. Christ to come in is the same knock that'll condemn that man for not opening the door. So much is given, much is required. Right.
Yes, sir.
And so you'll give up yourself in sin and open the door to Christ. Now I know, I'm glad we're independent Baptist church. What that basically means is that we're not associated with anybody but the head of the church, and that's Christ.
Right.
We're a self-governing body.
Right.
Our does know that. God don't show up because that's on your sign. That don't move God.
Right.
Everybody's got a handle. We might as well take that one.
Yep.
And I'm a Baptist, but I'm glad, thank God, I saved before I was.
Yeah.
That's right. And I'm going to say this tonight. A lot of people in this day and dispensation that we live in, because you come to a church like this, we think this can't happen. But I'm telling you what, you know and I know, brother, thank God it could.
Right.
And really, if we just took a spiritual temperature test tonight, if every one of them said, let's just test where we at.
Help us now.
Let's just test where we at. Brother, there ain't nobody burning her up.
Come on, preacher, go ahead.
You know and I know there's nobody in the hot zone.
Help us now.
You say, how you know that? See the fire?
Uh-oh.
Amen. If it's on fire, brother, thank God you can tell where the fire's at.
Hey.
Amen. I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's on their life and they're blazing for God. I'm going to tell you what, you got to admit tonight, we're not on fire for God.
Hey,
grace.
Yeah.
That's a concern, Naco. He's concerned about it.
Sure.
Right.
This ought to be important to you tonight.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be important. It ought to be important to you to be full of the Holy Ghost. You know what I said the night before I preached? I said, Lord God, I can't do it. I really can't do it. I can't perform it. I can't do it. The Holy Ghost don't help me. I'm in trouble.
That's exactly right, preacher.
And really, it's not me.
Nope.
And really, it's not you if you do anything for God.
Right.
It's the Holy Ghost through you and through you. And if you don't learn it, hey, you know what God wants you to get to? You can't.
Amen.
When you can't, that's when He can. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. The church has got to the point, listen to me, that they think they can do it. And why they think they can do it, He's on the outside, because He's letting them do it. When you get to the place that I can play the piano, I can play the organ, I can sing, I can preach, I can teach, I can play the auto harp, I can play the guitar, and you get to the place you can do all that, and He'll say, well, you don't need me. And that's where we're at.
Yep.
Education about killed us in this day.
Yes, it has. Come on now, you right.
And what's happened in the Baptist church in this day is we've learned all these things, we've taught our children these things, and we've developed a bunch of hypocrites and Pharisees at the church instead of old time heartfelt worship.
Please.
And it's just a program.
Right.
And that's what's happened. What can we do to get the crowd to move? Unto God. It ain't nothing. Hey, brother, the Holy Ghost has to move on you if the crowd's going to move. I ain't got no special words to say to you. But Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior and the Word of God. But if it don't move your heart, ain't God me telling you about what my grandma did is not going to do much. We live in that day. It's the emotional day. We live in a day of singing. I mean, some churches, they'll sing an hour and a half, preach 20 minutes. And I'm telling you, we're geared to entertainment. Everybody wants to see something in their hair. Instead of living by faith, it's by faith and not by sight. And Jesus said, you'll do it my way or I won't dwell in the midst of you. And I'm going to tell you this. You want to listen to this? If you're going to walk with Him, you'll walk with Him the way He says walk with Him.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He said, you got to agree with me if you're going to walk with me. And the Bible said, Enoch walked with God.
Amen.
God didn't walk with him. Enoch walked with God. He said, I'll walk with you, God. God says, you got that opportunity, you can walk with me today. But you'll walk the way I say walk.
Right.
You know what I say tonight? We need the help of God.
Yes, sir.
We need His help. We need to get an altar and say, Lord, I'm a nothing. And when you can get to there, and I mean really mean it, that's when He can use you. As long as you think you got it, you'll find Him on the outside. He'll say, I'll let them do it then. I'll let the charter members and the charter people run it. You know what I mean? We've always done it this way. Well, what about the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, crazy.
You're right.
Or the preacher, he's the dictator, you know. Brother, he's the man of God. He's not no dictator. I wouldn't want that responsibility to be a dictator. God, hell, he'd judge me faster than I was standing.
Yeah.
That's right. Buddy, you looking at a man that's fearful of even having the judgment, the face of the judgment of God Almighty, knowing that he that stands against the Word of God is going to have a greater account than anybody else that stands before God.
You're right, brother.
That's right. I'm going to give an account to God Almighty for what I say and what I do and how I try to lead the house of God. And God help me, I want to lead it a spiritual way and have Christ in the middle of this thing. If He's not, then brother, we're missing it. I've been in services before and seen them run, carry on. I'm not against that. God's in it. And sat there and wondered, where's God at? I wonder where He's at. Please, somebody testify of the Holy Ghost. Somebody sing, praise God. It's got a touch on it. Man of God, get up and preach with something God's got in His heart. Oh, where is it at? The old time power and the old time way of God we talk about. I tell you where it's at. Hey, God, it's in where God's at. If He's not around, there won't be. But He knocks. That condemning knock. That knock condemns that crowd because they won't let Him in.
Yeah.
And the knock, you don't answer to the knock, it'll judge you. Because you won't heed to what He says. And I'll ask you a question tonight, and I'm through. What's he knocking on your heart about? Where are you at with him? I mean, you say, preacher, I really won't be full of the Holy Ghost. When you get empty. Get empty. The Holy Ghost will fill a man that's hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when you come down to see, listen to me, when you come down, boys, I'm telling you, you can be full of the Holy Ghost. God saved you, birthed you in the family of God. I mean, there, be full of God, the Holy Ghost. Have you asked God to fill you? But you, listen, you're going to have to empty yourself. You're going to have to get out of the way. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. When you get to the place that you totally see, hey, it ain't about me and it ain't me, it's all Him. That's when He can come on.
That's exactly right, preacher.
But as long as it's about you, and as long as you know how to do it and what you can do, I'm going to tell you what He'll do. He'll just let you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, He will.
But it won't be in no power.
Right,
you better learn that. I'm going to tell you what, He'll come to them. Thank God that want Him. But He'll come on His terms and not yours.
That's right.
Every time. What about you say, are you saved? God knocked on your heart. What about Christian people tonight, Laodicean church age? He's knocking on your heart. And He's not part of my life. He is my life.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And if He's not yours, then you need to give yours to Him.
Sure.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. Appreciate you hearing the Word of God.